Hallelujah. Allow me to go back about 5 minutes today. I was going down the road today. I was doing some sales calls today, going to LaBelle, and I just began to weep. I'm just so grateful to be alive. I'm so grateful to be here. Here preaching the gospel. Thank God for that. But I'm just glad to be born again and alive.
Hallelujah.
I cheated death 4 or 5 times before I got saved. I had my grandmother. She prayed for me. My grandmother went home at almost 90 years old with a flashlight, with her Bible open, and she went to meet Jesus with her Bible open, reading the Bible. That's how she went home. She prayed for me all the time. She must have, because I just wept. I had to pull over, Pastor. I just wept because on several occasions I had an axe thrown at my face. It got stuck in the windshield. Not one mark on me. I remember one particular time I was so mad, so drunk, so hungover, I cussed God. Now, I wasn't saved now. When they got cussed, I was so angry, so bitter, so hungover. I said, I hate you. I despise you. If you are who everybody says you are, you prove yourself to me. This was 15 years ago. Angry at God. Walked around the corner and almost stepped on it looked to me like a 6 or 7 foot rattlesnake. And I just was going to step right on it. And for some reason, it looked at me and just left. After just cussing God. I said, I hate you. I despise you. If you're real, you prove yourself to me. And I was going to step on it. And I was in the woods. If I would have got bit, I would have died. There was nobody around me. Another time, I was playing Russian roulette. Put a gun to my head. Shaved all the back of my head off. Shattered the door with a bullet. But I'm still alive. Because of the prayers of my grandmother.
Hallelujah.
Thank God for praying grandmothers. And it's incredible. It's incredible. How many times me and Pablo used to sort of hang out in the day, so he knows what I'm making reference to a little bit. But I'm here because of the prayers of my grandmother, because Jesus Christ loves me. And I cried and I just reminisced. I went back and said, God Almighty, thank you. So you see, the bad thing about it is if I would have died back then, I would have been in hell. Where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worm does not cease. I would have been in hell. But because my grandmother loved me enough and she had enough authority in the Spirit as my vine dresser, I'm here today serving the only true man, and his name is Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
And we're nothing. We're absolutely nothing without him. So why wouldn't I want to give him my life, surrender my life, take up my cross daily and follow? Why wouldn't we want to embrace the risen Savior every single day? Why wouldn't we want to worship him in the morning and meditate the Scripture and pray in the Spirit? Why wouldn't we want to embrace the risen Savior? Anything else is just vanity, man. Life has no meaning without knowing Jesus Christ in an intimate manner. I don't want to know him outside of intimacy. I don't want to know him. I want to feel what John felt in his bosom in John chapter 13 or 14 when they leaned up on him. I want to feel his embrace. I want to feel his breath. I want to know everything about my Savior. I want to worship him and praise him till I go home. So why wouldn't we want to surrender all that we are to him, to be saturated at the feet of Jesus Christ? Amen.
Amen.
I just cried. I just said, Lord, thank you so much. Not that I want to bring up the past, but I do want you to know what God can deliver you from.
Amen.
He's powerful.
Yes.
He's powerful. And I just thank God that I'm just here today, born again, Holy Ghost filled, serving Jesus Christ. In that I rejoice.
Praise God.
That I serve a risen, powerful, powerful Savior. As we all do. Amen.
Amen.
Just turn with me real quick. I'm not going to keep you long. I don't preach that long anyway. Psalms 18, please. And I've been in the Psalms for a while. Just saturating myself and just reading them over and over again. I said about a year or two ago, I said, Lord, when I read about King David many a times, it sort of intrigued me that this man that wasn't even born again could have such a heart and desire to worship God more than I did. And I was born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. But yet, David wrote the majority of the Psalms, and the majority of them are based on worship. So I said, Lord, I want to worship. I want to develop a love for you like he had for you, Lord. Take me to certain pastures. Take me where I need to dwell to convince my soul and my spirit to want to worship you every single day of my life. And two places that he took me were Psalms 27 and Psalm 63, which Miss Candy quoted earlier without my permission, but it's okay. That's fine. But I've downloaded those Psalms, Pastor, night after night, hour after hour, over and over again, over and over again, till when? Till I started getting up, worshiping God without even wanting, without forcing myself to, just putting, downloading all these psalms into my heart. And when Ms. Candy said today, as I like using it, where David wrote, he said, "Your loving kindness is better than life." Well, he concluded that, Pastor, in the secret place, as he worshiped Jesus Christ day. I mean, as he worshiped the Almighty God day in and day out. You can't worship God on a consistent basis, like Ralph says, spirit to spirit, and not conclude that His loving kindness is better than life. Nothing compares to intimacy with the risen Savior. Nothing. I've read. I love meditation. I love praying in the Spirit, and I do that on a daily basis. But worship is really worship, just me and Him, like just me and Him. No third party, no music, no nothing. Just me, words of adoration coming from my heart to my God. You know, it doesn't say to worship Him emotion to spirit. It says to worship Him spirit to spirit, like Ralph told me about 2 weeks ago. I love just creating words within my heart, within my spirit, and telling Jesus Christ how much I love Him. It just, there's something about it. It's not redundant. The next "I love you," Pastor, just feels as it feels strong. The more I say "I love you," the stronger and stronger it gets. The more passion I have inside of me to say the next "I love you" to Jesus. The more I praise you, the passion in me, to just it gets stronger and stronger to say "I worship you" again. And there's something about worship. And you know, David said in Psalms 18, I probably got all 18 memorized, but that's not impressive to God. You know, it's walking out the Scripture that's impressive to Him. We can quote it, do all we want to do with the Bible, unless you learn to walk it out, it really doesn't mean nothing. But he said in 18, David said, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, as He recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all His judgments are before me, and I did not put away His statutes from me. I was also upright before Him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in His eyesight." That's Psalms 18, 20 through 24. And there was little... I got to get up here, man. I'm used to preaching up here. And there was little things in my life that I really despised. You know, the righteousness of the law, which is the Ten Commandments, is in us now. I heard pastors say several years ago, when those of us that are born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, the adultery, that stuff, it really... We overcome that the day we got born again. That's plain and simple. There's enough power in the DNA of Christ to just empower me to. We just don't commit adultery. We don't steal. We just don't do these things because we're born again. But there's little things in my life that I was doing that I didn't like. I knew were wrong, like the giving offenses, like taking offenses. So what I would do is I would read Psalms 18, and I would go to 20 through 24, and over again, Pastor, read it. Over and over again, okay, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, as He recompensed me." And I would quote that and read it over and over again, trying to download that into my soul, where I didn't want to give an offense anymore, or I didn't want to take an offense anymore, or I wanted to forgive. So I would download that in me over and over again. I would say, "Lord, okay, You reward me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. Lord, I want to please You. I don't want to offend. I don't want to take an offense. I want to forgive. I want to walk in love. I don't want to walk in strife." And I would quote it and read it and quote it. And I would see some result. I'd see some improvement in my life. But then, you know, and I would worship God with music. And again, you know, I just prefer at all, 100%, not to worship God with any music at all. But I would worship God. I would do an hour, 2 hours of worship with music. But it was good, and you would feel the presence of God. But it really wasn't what I was looking for. So then I began downloading these psalms. I mean, I began to worship God with no music, just laying down on my bed, just words of adoration out of my spirit. Just, "I love You, Jesus. And I love You, Jesus. I worship You, Jesus. I thank You that You're all that I need, Jesus. I need nothing else but a personal relationship with You, Lord." And I would utter that over and over again, just simple words of adoration. I worship You, Father. I would say things like, "You are my soft answer. You are my response. You're my wisdom. You're my physician. You're everything that I could ever want, Jesus." and I love you and I praise you and I worship you. And I would just over and over again, and instead of being bored, the next I love you was seemed to come out of me with more intensity, with more hope, with more want to. And as I began to worship God, I found it a lot easier to obey the unction inside of me. Because see, when you worship God, it produces intimacy. And when you're intimate with God, it produces righteousness. In other words, when you fall in love with the Savior, when you worship Him, when you enter that habitation, you're rubbing shoulders with Him. And as you love Him and you embrace Him, you want to keep, Pastor, that unction from what you don't want to transgress the Word of God. You don't want to hurt your brother. You don't want to give an offense or take one. And I found out that even reading all of Psalms 18 and quoting it and meditating it over and over again, I found it real simple. Or it was getting easier and easier to obey God at His Word by a simple thing called worship. See, the more I worship God, the more I rub shoulders with Him, the more I fell in love with Him. And then it was so easy, and I was getting easier. I still got a ways to go. I like what Gary Carpenter says, that he doesn't walk in all the revelation that he has, and neither do I. But I did find out, Pastor, that as I worship God, just spirit to spirit, no emotion. Emotion will get you in trouble. The armies of Israel, the Bible says that as Goliath approached, that they jumped and shouted for the battle. He showed his face, and what happened? They ran. That's emotion. They saw a giant. The Bible says that they shouted for the battle. They were shouting and jumping. I'm sure they quoted scripture. But Goliath came 40 days, twice a day, 80 times in 40 days. And they ran each and every time. That's emotionalism. Baptism is David saw the giant. He says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He should defile the armies of the living God. There's 20,000 men there. Emotionalism. Shouted for the battle, yet they ran. Same giant. Same shield. Same sheath. Same sword. Same spear. They saw it. They saw the giant. Emotionalism. Baptism didn't see the giant. They didn't see the spear. David didn't see the spear. David said, who is this? See, emotionalism. Jumping and shouting and screaming, yes, we're going to kill him. God, you are. We have a covenant with you, God. Yet they ran. Baptism of worship, one-on-one worship, saw the same thing that 20,000 men full of emotionalism saw. He saw it, but he didn't see it, Pastor. Emotionalism saw the man almost 10 foot tall as they shouted for the battle. David didn't shout. He looked and said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defile the armies of the living God? Guys, what's wrong with you? We have a covenant with the Almighty God. He doesn't have a covenant with a God that we serve. Emotionalism, jump. And there's nothing wrong with jumping and shouting. I like jumping and shouting too, but our worship can't be based on feeling at all. I mean, not one bit can it be worse. Can it be based on emotion? The most I've seen, I can worship God and not feel nothing for 2 or 3 hours. But then I wake up, Pastor, and my day goes so, so smooth because it wasn't based on emotion. It's based on me worshiping Him spirit to spirit. And that's where there's growth. I love it when I feel Him. Oh, my God, I love when I feel the tears, when I feel His blood. I love it. And I wish I could get that all the time, but I don't. But I found out that I get the strongest when I'm just laying there in my bed, uttering words like, I love you, Jesus. I worship you and I praise you. I find out that in that time, even if it seems dry, I'm still tilling the land, Pastor. I'm still going forward. I'm still embracing my God. Nothing that I've ever done in my life has caused me to want to obey the inward witness more than worship does. Just spirit to spirit. Not emotion to spirit. Just spirit to spirit. As I lay down on my bed, just lay there, Father, I worship you. I praise you, Jesus. And then I found out that it was getting easier and easier not to offend, not to walk in offense, not to walk in strife, not to feel anxiety and pain from the world, but it was getting easier and easier to forgive. That's what worship does to you, my friends. When you learn to rub shoulders with the risen Savior, keeping the unction keeping His word, it'll happen because He gives the instruction. He dispenses the instruction from inside of us. So if I love Him, I'm going to love what He tells me to do. And I'm going to obey what He tells me to do. David said, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. Has He recompensed me? But he said in 63, he said, God, you are my God. Early, early will I seek you. The Hebrew says, I will seek you early, earnestly, Lord. You take 63 and you worship Him daily in the temple. You fall in love with Him. You feel His embrace. Obeying Psalms 18 is nothing to you. See, when you worship God, all you want to do is keep His word. You don't want to transgress against your brother. You don't want to transgress against your sister. All you want to do is please the risen Savior. And nothing, nothing on the face of this world has ever moved me and has put me into a place where it gets easier and easier to obey the unction from within us. And I give God all the glory because, my friends, I'm not very smart. But I'm smart enough to listen to my pastor. I'm smart enough to listen to a man that devotes his life to hours of prayer every single day. I'm smart enough to do that. My pastor knows everything about me, good and bad. I figure he prays a lot, so I might as well not lie to him. Just tell him the truth about me. He's going to find out anyway, so why go ahead and tell him the truth the first time? I submit to him. And I'm smart enough to know that he's my pastor, but I'm smart enough to know that I turn myself over to the Holy Spirit and I'm called, as we're called together, to worship the Almighty God. And nothing, nothing on the face of this earth has ever moved me like simple words of adoration, like, I love you, Jesus. David said, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. He said, see, it's not the fact that I worship God that gets me the blessing of Jesus Christ. It's not that. Well, you can worship, you could get emotional all you want to and never receive the recompense of Jesus Christ. But when you worship Jesus, spirit to spirit, it produces intimacy with the Savior. And as we are intimate with Jesus Christ, it equals obedience. See, God blesses an obedient son or daughter. Not just because we worship, does that mean that we enter His complete habitation. I get who He is. I get the benefits of who He is. As I spend time with Him and as I obey His word, I get all that's in that habitation. All the peace, the strength that's in that habitation, that everything that my Father has, I have to dwell where He dwells. David said, the Lord liveth. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation, let Him be exalted. He said, the Lord liveth. How did David know that the Lord lived? Lest he lived in the habitation of God. See, we can all quote the same verse. One of us can quote the verse in the habitation. Some of us can quote the verse out of the habitation. Guess who's going to get the result? We can quote the same verse. We can quote the same books, lest we abide in that habitation. What we quoted was in vain. David said, the Lord liveth. Blessed be my rock. How do you know that God lived? David, because I lived where He lived. I made my abode in His habitation. I received all the strength that was in that habitation. I received it. The might that was in there, I received it as I lifted up my hands and I worshiped His holy name. Everything that my Father was and is, I have in my heart. He said, the Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. How do you know that He lived, David? How? Because I lived where He lived. And if I lived where He lived, then He lived where I lived. And I got all the fringe benefits of that habitation. So obeying the word of God is real simple the more you rub shoulders with Jesus Christ. Spirit to spirit. This is what I do at night, 3 or 4 in the morning, right here. On my pillow right here. Father, I worship You. I praise You. I thank You. I glorify Your name. Father, You are my sufficiency. I worship You. And the tear comes down and it feels good. But I can just stay there. Oh, Father, I worship You. I thank You. I glorify You. All of a sudden, Pastor, I found a result in my life. A baptism where I wasn't getting offended anymore. I wasn't giving any offense. I was starting to keep my mouth shut. And though I still got a ways to go, I know how to get there. I found out that, okay, so what if they oppose you? So what? You still got the soldier on, man. And it got easier to keep my mouth shut because if you lay there and just rub shoulders with the risen Savior, Father, I worship you. It gets so easy to obey the unction, 1 John, that's inside of us. See, out of our unction comes instruction, the Word of God. Out of our unction comes doctrine, comes instruction, comes the Word of God, the commandment. It's in. It comes out. And it's so easy to obey what comes out when you're rubbing shoulders with Jesus Christ. It gets easier and easier. My friends, I don't want to walk in offense. I don't want to give an offense. I want to so fall in love with this one man named Jesus Christ. I want to work exploits for my God. David couldn't wait. He said, "The Lord liveth, blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation, let him be exalted." I want. You can't worship Jesus. You can't spend time with him on a consistent basis and not want to see somebody's limb grow out. It's an impossible situation. It's impossible to worship God because you develop a compassion for people. How can we worship Jesus, spend time with a risen Savior, and see somebody with no limbs and be happy in our life? Father, I worship you, Lord, but I long for the day that my brother receive what's in heaven. You can't worship Jesus. You can't spend time with him and not desire a revival. It 2 + 2 = 4, not 3. So as I worship Jesus, as I embrace him, and as we worship Jesus, as we embrace him, there's a compassion that's built up inside of our spirit where, like I told the kids Sunday night, I said, I don't want to be a good preacher, man. I don't want to make sense to you. I want to walk in so much love. I want to embrace Jesus Christ. Or I want to work exploits so that my God can be glorified. With all my heart, see, and be careful how you judge people, because David's brothers judged him as prideful, Pastor. But God handpicked him to be king over Israel. Be careful how you think somebody's arrogance is prideful, because you could be wrong. Because God, the same person that the brothers judged King David, God thought so highly of him that this will be the next king of Israel. My friends, the more I embrace Jesus Christ, I do get bolder and bolder. The other day as I was worshiping God, I swear to you, I felt like I could have raised the dead. Could I? Probably not. But I felt good at the time. I felt so good. I was crying. I got a baptism for like 10 minutes. Maybe it's him just sending me a nugget, reminding me what all this worship is doing. I felt so powerful. I felt so awesome. I cried. That was before I called you on the phone the other day, Pastor. I didn't finish telling you the whole story. I couldn't stop. It felt awesome. Pull the truck over. I got to stop and worship Jesus, baby. And I cried and I prayed in tongues, and it seemed like prophecy was coming out, and I prayed in tongues and prophecy was coming out, and I wanted to worship God. All that was is him maybe giving me a little nugget of plowing the field 2 or 3 months beforehand. And I'm telling you, my friends, if you could develop a few moments of intimacy with Jesus Christ, whether you feel it or not, you will never, ever be the same. I was thinking the other day, God, where's the offenses at? Now, am I saying I'll never be offended again? No, I shouldn't be, though. But I was thinking, I said, where's the strife at? Where's the anxiety? Where's the jealousy at? Where's it at? Habitation's on that side, and I'm out here. Well, when you spend time in here, there is no strife in the habitation. There is no anger in the habitation of the Almighty God. There is no anxiety. There is no hatred. So if you dwell where there isn't what we don't want to walk in, then you won't walk in it. Over a period of time, if you stay in there long enough, Father, I worship you. You are my sufficiency. You are my soft answer, Lord. I will never be moved. You are the rock of my strength, Jesus. I worship you. I praise you. I glorify you, Jesus. When you dwell in his habitation, you receive what's in his habitation. That's why David said, the Lord liveth, blessed be my rock. I know that he lives because I live where he lives. I long for the day, for the moment to wake up in the morning, to lift up my hands and to worship the Almighty God. You cannot worship him on a consistent basis and not receive what he is. He said, the Lord lives. How do you know that he lived, David? Because I lived where he lived. And if I lived where he lived, then he lived where I live. And everywhere that I go, all that he is downloaded in my soul. And everywhere I go, I walk in victory. Psalm 18 said that God makes darkness his secret place. We need never to fear. And I love what Pastor says, and he's so right. I don't read the shadow or the old covenant to cut somebody's head off. I don't read it or baptize myself with God's word to be mighty and valor in war. But what it does intrigue me is this man was so in love with the Almighty God. I'm after to fall in love with Jesus Christ like an unregenerate man was. And even more because I'm born again. I want to do what he did to cause him to love the Almighty God so, so much. And that was a place of intimacy through worship. It's not coincidence that he never lost a battle. It was because our forefather knew how to abide in the secret place of the Most High. Psalms 18, there's at least two dozen chapters there that tells you what God did for David. He said, you make my feet like that of a deer. Why, David? Because David lived in the habitation of God. He said, you make my feet like that of a deer. By you, Lord, I can bend a bow of bronze. Why could David bend a bow of bronze? Because he lived in the habitation of God. He said, my enemies, they flee from me. Why do they flee from you, David? Because I lived in the habitation of God. He said on a consistent basis in the Psalms, God, you are my strength. David, why was God your strength? Because I lived in the habitation of the Almighty God. He called the Lord his buckler. David, why is the Lord your buckler? Because I lived in the habitation of the Almighty God. I beheld his glory. I gazed upon all that he was. I had a vision of his power. I live in his habitation. Who he is downloaded inside my soul. The Bible says in 1 Samuel, David said, is there not a cause? My friend, there's a cause right here, right now, in this town. There's a cause right here, right now, in this great nation of ours. People don't even know, but there's going to be a spiritual civil war now. Every CNN, Fox, this country better repent. This country better repent. Every channel that you go to is talking about racism here and there. I'm talking about all races. Everybody's blaming everybody. They don't know who to blame now. This country, this great, once God-fearing country, you better repent. Live in the habitation of the Lord. He said, the Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Teaches my hands to make war. Why, David? Because I live in his habitation. You've given me the shield of thy salvation. Why, David? Because I live in the habitation of God. See, we're not after that might and valor to fight the battles of the Lord. We want to dwell there, Pastor, in his habitation. Receive of his love and his strength and all that he is. We could see the glory that David walked in was he was a man of valor. That's the glory that God gave him. The glory that we want is to see the dead raised, the dumb to speak. And make no mistake, you don't receive revival without walking in the love of the Almighty God. You're not going to receive it. Don't worry about it. If you have no intention on rubbing shoulders with the Almighty God, if you have no intention on worshiping Him spirit to spirit, revival is just going to be vanity come out of our mouth. But if our intention is to worship the King, If our intention is to behold the face of Jesus Christ to the day we go home, if our intention is to walk in the agape of God, my friends, we will receive the book of Acts outpouring. But it's all up to me and you. It's all up to me and you. He said, the Lord liveth. How do you know that He lives, David? Because I live in His habitation. I used to get aggravated with pastor in these closing words. Shut up. Quit talking about revival. I would say that years ago. Be quiet. Now I can see why he talked about revival so much. Because the more you fall in love with Jesus, pastor, that passion, seeing the outpouring so that God may be glorified, it grows in you more and more. It intensifies more and more and more and more and more. See, we're doing real good. All my kids are healthy. They're all healthy. I got a decent job. My wife has a decent job. I'm doing good compared to the rest of the world. What about all those kids in Africa dying of AIDS? What about people dying of AIDS here? Don't they deserve to see the glory of God manifest in their life through me and you? That's what we're after. I don't want to be a good... I could care if pastor ever asked me to preach again. He said, you want to preach? I said, I will. You're my pastor. You asked me to, I will. But I love what pastor said. That pulpit, that's not our identity with him. Tonight around 3 o'clock in the morning will be my identity with him when I tell him how much I love him and how much I worship him and praise him. The Lord liveth. Blessed be my rock. He said, let the God of my salvation, let him be exalted. Worship breeds intimacy. Intimacy breeds obedience. He said, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands as he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. I found out, pastor, that chapter 18, verse 20 through 25, I could easily keep it as I rubbed shoulders with the risen Savior. As I worshiped Him, I found it easier and easier to not behold people because I've made that mistake before. As I rubbed shoulders with Jesus Christ, I found it easier and easier to just let things go over your head. It doesn't matter. And man, it feels good when there's opposition and you can just say nothing about it. See, because in that habitation, there are no offenses given, there are none taken. And more we dwell in that place of intimacy with the Almighty God, the more and more we know His name, and more we receive of Him. And more we receive of Him, and more we're able to bring Him glory, which is what we're after. This man named Jesus Christ is the reason that we live. He's the only reason that we live is to behold His face on a continual basis. To just tell Him how much we love Him. Remember this as you enter your journey into worship. I don't know if you've entered it or you're there. Maybe you're past me. That's fine. But it's not about emotion. It is nothing. It said we're to worship Him spirit to spirit. It's fine when we feel Him. Oh, God, I wish I could feel Him every day, pastor. Oh, I love it. I would love it. But half the time I don't. But still, as I'm tilling the ground and as I finish my worship and my Bible meditation, when I go to work, I find out there's a peace that comes from that, I love you, Jesus. There's a calmness in your spirit that comes by that, I love you, Jesus. And it just inspires me more and more. I can't wait to go to sleep sometimes just so I can wake up and tell Him that I love Him. Before Almighty God, before Almighty God, by downloading, now all this goes hand in hand, the tongues, the meditation, by downloading 27 and 63 in me, maybe hundreds, maybe thousands of times and hours of praying in the Holy Ghost, I don't even try. I don't make it an objective. I don't write down on my day runner, prayer at 3 o'clock, man. My eyes just open up and the I love you start coming out. without even trying. Why? Because His word is hidden in my heart. I'm nobody, man. I'm nobody. Graduated with 17 F's, but I'm smart enough to know that I'm to behold the face of my Savior. I'm smart enough to know what path we're on. I'm smart enough to know these things, that we go forward. And the I love yous keep coming out. Do you make mistakes? Yes, sir. But I'm making less and less of them. I'm finding out that through Him, through Christ, through that habitation, I can be a better father, a better husband, a better person, a better businessman. See, that habitation affects every single area of your life. Simple words like, I love you, Jesus. Sometimes I wish I did cry and feel Him. But when I do feel it, man, it feels awesome. One time I got a, and I'm done in about 2 minutes, I guess, every 5 minutes He gave me like about 30 seconds of heaven, what I called, and I cried. It felt so awesome. Like He gave it to me 5 minutes, and then I calmed down. Oh, and then boom, it come again. I hadn't felt nothing in 2 months. I hadn't felt His presence in 2 months. But the I love yous never stopped coming out of my spirit. But what I felt in those 5 minutes, 30 seconds, 5 minutes, 30 seconds, it made those 2 months worth it. Feeling all that my, well, feeling what my Father was. It's like, son, here you go. Here's a little nugget. Come on, son, come up higher. I will, Jesus. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful for what we're taught. I am so grateful. I had too much junk in my life to make it without what we're taught here. I praise God for today's revelation on that sin will have no dominion over you. I praise God for today's revelation on the born-again spirit. Because had it not been for that, Pastor, I would have had an excuse for everything and I would not be here today. I praise God that Pastor consistently preaches tongues, consistently preaches fasting and meditation, because we're doing it. I want to work exploits for my Father. I want to bring Him so much glory because He lives. I want to prove to society that He lives by first the love that I walk in and the power that we walk in. I don't want to be a good preacher. I don't want to be a good teacher. There's a whole bunch of them out there. I want to walk in the agape of my Father. I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good dad. I want to please Jesus Christ. When the time comes that I go home and utter my last breath and I cross over and I see Him face to face, I want Him to look at me eyeball to eye. I want to say, good job, son. The Lord lives, David said. He lives, Miss Candy. Blessed be my rock. I love this man named Jesus Christ. And I am dearly loved by Him. I am so loved by this man named Jesus Christ. I am so loved by Him. The Lord lives. Blessed be my rock. Let the God of my salvation, let Him be exalted. 63:1. God, You are my God. Early will I seek You. My soul longs for You. My flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for You in the secret place. What He was looking for was only found in a place of intimacy. And as He found Him through intimacy, then He said, Your loving kindness is better than life. He established that and He concluded that who God was better than life itself in a place of intimacy. He said, Your loving kindness is better than life. Therefore, my hands will praise You. Psalms 34, He tasted and He saw the goodness of the Lord. This is what we're all after here. Or you wouldn't be coming here. Service in, service out. Because you know what we get here. You know what we get. And I've never been so excited about what we taught like I have in the last two or three or four months. I'm so excited Because I finally tasted what true, true spirit-to-spirit worship is. Just me and my Creator. Words like, I love you, Jesus. I worship you. And I praise you. Please don't get me wrong. I'm not coming against music. I just prefer me and Him, Miss Candy. I just prefer words being created out of my own priesthood to Him. There's some good worship songs, and we heard some good ones today. But I prefer me and Him. It just seems to have a result on your life that you can't even describe. Amen. The Lord lives, Mr. Ralph. He lives. How do you know, David? Because I live where He lives. I live in His habitation. That's what we're after, my friends. Amen. Pastor?
Hallelujah. All right. How many of you are after that habitation? Praise God. Well, why don't you just lift your hands just one more time tonight? Father, we just praise you. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Thank you for who you are and what you are to us. And we found something in you. And rather, you found us. And we're just here for the ride. And we love you. Give you all the praise and glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, so now we just bless Him. Bless your body. Thank you for everything that you've given to us. The whole kingdom wrapped up in one. So we ask you now to bless everybody here as we go and come tonight, as we've come and as we leave. We thank you for it. We give you all the praise and glory. Hallelujah. Well, we appreciate that word. Amen.